Would turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. I want to continue on with what I started last week. In Galatians chapter 4, I'll just read the first 7 verses again. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Started out last week talking about how this is talking about us, believers, as the heir. When as a child, you are kept under tutors and governors. But there comes a time when the heir comes into his inheritance. And that time for believers is right now. Right now, we are heirs. We are sons. And that's what he was leading up to here. Because in the fullness of time, God did send forth his Son. And I said it last week, I'll say it this week. It doesn't say that God created his Son in the fullness of time, because the Son always was. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word is Jesus Christ, the Son, who was sent forth. I still hear it, and people do it, well, it's kind of a joke now, because it has been done in religious circles for a long time, but they refer to baby Jesus, and that's the way they refer to him. Jesus was sent forth. He was born of a woman. But he's not baby Jesus now. This is not baby Jesus' world, as I've heard it described. But see, people fixate on the baby Jesus because that's something they think they understand. The baby needs us. We don't need him. They think they can deal with that. Well, he's not there anymore. He's not on the cross anymore. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is still Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a man sitting at the right hand of God, but it is the God-man. And he is the one with whom all have to do. But God sent forth his Son. And then it says, he was made of a woman. Now, he was promised, as I said, in the book of Genesis, as the seed of the woman. He was prophesied that he would bruise the serpent's head. He did. It was prophesied that the serpent would bruise his heel. It did, but he got over it. The reason the serpent could bruise his heel is because that was also purposed and promised and performed by Christ. Amen. He is called the Lamb of God because he was the sacrifice for sin. And he gave himself as the sacrifice for sin for his people. in the fullness of time. But he was born of a virgin. And I mentioned that thing where Henry had spoke of, that you don't say when our Lord was 12 years old, but Jesus was 12 years old. And I can't explain it, but I can explain how deity became flesh. All I know is it happened. I can't explain it. How could he who created everything in the world fit himself into a child? I don't know. I know he did it, though. And I know he did it on purpose. God's purpose. His purpose. Now, next step is, it talks about where he was made under the law. Jesus was born to a Jewish woman. Mary brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. He was brought into a Jewish household. He was made under the law given by Moses. Now, who gave that law to Moses? He did. Now, explain how the one who gave the law to Moses can be made under the law. I can't explain that either, but it happened. The one who gave the law, who gave the commandments, who gave the sacrifices, was made under the law. He was born under the law, and then, as no one else had ever done before, he kept the law perfectly. When he was 12 years old, his parents took him to Jerusalem. They left, he stayed behind and was speaking with the doctors and the people in the synagogue. And they were astonished at his knowledge and his questions and his answers. They're still astonished right now to Jesus' answers, if you give them to them. Because most people in most churches don't know what Jesus Christ really said. They have no idea, a lot of them, that he drove the money changers out of the temple. They have no idea that Jesus Christ said, I and my Father are one. Now, that was written for us to read, but he was not saying that we are all God, which is the way some interpret it. See, God's in everyone. No, he's not. He's in his people. He's in his people. He's the one that said, I'll make the difference between cattle and cattle. God makes the difference. Jesus came and was speaking with these doctors and these lawyers or whoever they were at the synagogue, and they were astonished at him. And their mother and father came back and they picked him up. And he said, don't you know we were worried about you? You're supposed to stay with us. He did ask him, he said, wished ye not that I should be about my Father's business? But he went with his mother. He went with his parents because he was honoring his mother and his father. Jesus Christ kept the law completely. Jesus Christ kept the law perfectly. Jesus Christ was the only one who could love the Lord his God with all his heart, all his mind, and all his strength. I can't do that now. I can't. And anybody who says they're sinless is deluding themselves. Because that's the first commandment and the greatest. You know, honor God. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I can't do that, and neither can any man. And no man did it until Christ did. He was made under the law, and he kept the law. He was perfect, clean, and absolutely spotless. He was made under the law and was perfect in his keeping of the law. He is the spotless Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. And he was the only one who ever kept the law. You can read the scriptures. What does the law do? It condemns. It says you're guilty. It says I'm guilty. It says everybody's guilty except Jesus Christ. The one who could keep the law was God manifest in the flesh, and yet born of a woman, made under the law. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, says made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. An angel appeared to Mary and told her she would conceive in her womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. An angel appeared to Joseph and told him that Mary had conceived in her is of, what Mary had in conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This is why Christ came, to redeem. This is why Jesus Christ was made under the law. This is why Jesus Christ was made of a woman, to redeem. If you want to leave out those descriptive verses, it says, in the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son to redeem. Now he was made of a woman, born of a woman, made under the law. But Jesus Christ was sent forth by God to redeem them that were under the law. That's why he came. He came to redeem. The good news about Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is about the redemption of Jesus Christ. Because in order for Jesus Christ to redeem, certain things had to be fulfilled. He had to be born of a woman. And he had to be made under the law. He had to come in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was in the flesh. He dwelt among us. This is not a story. This is not a fantasy. This is not a legend or a fable or a myth. Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, was born on this planet of a woman. He was made under the law. He kept that law. He was a real person. There are people that think, oh, this has just been kind of inflated. You know, there probably was some guy named Jesus, but they've built it up after times passed. We've got stories written from his contemporaries, from people that were with him. that knew him, that heard him, that saw the miracles, that saw him resurrected. Some people put this Bible on the same basis as mythology, but it's not. This book, these words in this book, have been preserved by God for us, for our learning, for our edification, and to reveal the truth about God, about the Son, and about the Spirit. Now, if you don't want to, if you have nothing for the Bible, I got nothing for you because it's all I got. That's all I have. I believe this word because I believe him. Now, this epistle itself was written, addressed to the churches at Galatia, and it was written to those who were living in a Gentile country who believed the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was made under the law to be the one who completely and perfectly kept the law. And Paul writes about all believers in Galatians chapter 3. And one of the things I wanted to read here. Well, let me see. Where am I at? Well, I'll just start Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. Because this is what led up to chapter 4. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. The law could never give righteousness. And I'll add something right there that Paul says elsewhere. The law can never keep your righteousness. You can't keep the law to keep your righteousness. We're saved under grace, but then we got to obey the law. I don't think so. I couldn't obey it before. I can't obey it now. As a matter of fact, I think there's a scripture somewhere that says something like, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. To everyone that believeth. And I've heard people use that. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, is the end of the law. Or the end of the law for righteousness. Well, he is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He's not the end of the law. He fulfilled the law. He kept the law perfectly. But the scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. All are under sin. Jew, Gentile, bond free, male or female. You'll do that in a little bit. Jew and Gentile alike. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. It's not that we're just unrighteous or that we're just not righteous. We've gone out of the way. We've gone out of the way. We are going the wrong way. Man, as he is born the wrong way. And he'll live the wrong way, and unless Christ does something for him, he'll die the wrong way. Man is unprofitable as he is born. And that means there's no profit in us. But verse 23 says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Faith has to come. I saw a couple of more signs about faith this week. I don't know what's going on. I think it's a conspiracy. Faith builds bridges to the next world. I don't know where they get this stuff from. I swear I don't. I do not know. Faith builds bridges to the next world. No, faith has to come. It has to come to you. And if faith comes to you, it's because the Holy Spirit has come to you. And I ain't gonna need no bridge because the new world's coming here. This earth's gonna melt away with a fervent heat one day. And then there's gonna be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And I'm not gonna need a bridge. I need Christ. Then coming home yesterday in pain after falling down a mountain, I went past the church and it says, running on empty. Come in for a faith fill-up. And that's just a flip, and it's just, this is what people think about faith. What Paul wrote is, before faith came, we were shut up to the law. Before faith came, because faith has to come to you. You don't take your faith and go to God. You don't have any faith. And if you had faith, He wouldn't want it anyway. Because it'd be yours and it'd be corrupt.
Yeah.
Just like, see, I've been in the churches. You know, God's dealt to every man the measure of faith. And that means every man has faith, even though Paul says all men have not faith. Every man has faith, and all you have to do is believe. My believing is corrupt. God's not going to take it. And any correct believing that I actually accomplish is because of Him working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So I'm going to offer something to Him that He already gave me. That's about the same as Cain offering vegetables, Mason. The only offering that God accepts is blood. And it's not my blood, and it's not your blood. It's the blood of the one who kept the law perfectly. Who was made of a woman, made under the law. And He's the one who sends faith. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. His faith that He gives you before faith came. Then that means sometime or another, faith is going to come to His people. God is going to give faith to His people. God has given faith to some of His people. And He's still giving faith to His people in the fullness of time. The Holy Spirit comes. And you don't know where it comes from and where it goes. I don't know where it comes from and where it goes. No preacher knows where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of God. Born of the Spirit. And the law was our schoolmaster unto Christ. There is what's called the law work. That's what Earl called it, and I come to understand what he meant when he talked about it. when God first gives a person life, one of the first things that you learn is that you are just a little bit imperfect, or sometimes a lot imperfect. And the more you read of this book, the more you read of the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the purity and perfection of Jesus Christ, the more you realize you don't have it in you. The more I realized I didn't have it in me. That's part of the law work. To bring you to Christ. To unto Christ. Because I found out my righteousness, my perfection, my holiness, which I needed, was in Him. And it's only in me if He's in me. My righteousness is in Christ. My wisdom is in Christ. My sanctification is in Christ. And my redemption is in Christ. He has become all of that to me and to each and every one of His people. Because before that, I was under the law. I was condemned. I condemned myself. That's pretty bad. But it's a good thing when you can condemn yourself. Because most of the world thinks they're all pretty good. God will bring you just to see a little bit, not even perfectly, not even all that much, just a little bit of what you are in the flesh. And if you haven't seen yourself just a little bit in the flesh, your faults, your failures, you don't know Christ. I mean, it's that serious. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The law was our schoolmaster under Christ. But after faith has come, and faith comes from the outside, from the Holy Spirit, not from within, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We are no longer under the law, because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And no one is believing until after faith has come. Verse 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." That's it. There ain't no other way. That's all. By grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. The Baptist verse, Mason. It's still in there, and it's still true. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Not faith in yourself, not faith in your profession. Walter talked about that. And I've heard people say it. I can tell you the time and take you to the place where I trusted God, where I believed God. Well, that's nice. It is. If it's true, it's nice. Do you believe God now? Do you believe Jesus Christ now? Because I know people who can tell me the time and take me to the place where they used to believe God. But they don't anymore. Well, I hate to tell you, but that's before faith came. Because God's faith is perfect, even though we're not. His gift is perfect. His life is perfect. we're not. The flesh is still here. And that's where you get that war between the spirit and the flesh. Where I can't do the good I want to do. But luckily nothing. Blessedly, I can't do the evil I would do either. That's the part people want to leave out. I could be a lot worse than I am. I have been a lot worse than I am right now. But see, I'm standing up here right now. I have to behave. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Now, this is not talking about water baptism. It's the baptism of the Spirit, of life given by God, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. We have been given life and faith by the Spirit of God. We have put on Christ because He has given Himself to us. Faith came. We have put on Christ because we are wearing His righteousness. We are to be clothed in His righteousness. And I like that verse in Genesis when it says, and God clothed Adam and Eve in coats of skins. Because unless God clothes you, you're naked. And we have put on Christ, but that's because Christ has given us His righteousness. Verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now this is Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, writing this to us in what is called the church age. There is a difference between Jew and Gentile. But right now, in Christ, there is no difference. You are all one in Christ. There's neither servant nor master. There's neither male nor female. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. For ye are all one in Christ. Because being in Christ is all that matters. I see it. Anything else is peripheral. I like that word. Flotsam, jetsam, nonsense. Being in Christ is all that matters. Because in Him, we have all spiritual blessings. In Him, we have life. In Him, we have faith. In Him, we have love. In Him, we have wisdom. In Him, we have righteousness. In Him, we have sanctification. In Him, we have redemption. Everything is in Christ. And if you are in Christ, everyone else in Christ, you're all one. Because He, being in Him, is all that matters. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. In Christ, we are heirs. We have an inheritance. His purpose was the redemption of his chosen people. And being an heir of his means we have an inheritance. Now, in human relationships, the heir gets his inheritance from the parent. Christ promised his people an inheritance, and our inheritance is in him. And the inheritance that we have now, as heirs, is as perfect as the one who gave it. First Peter 1 and 3 says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And just not to leave you hanging, he kept going. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Walter's been talking about the kingdom and that the kingdom exists now. But this life is not all we have. We have so much more than that. That's one of the things I always agreed with Mays Jackson. One of the few things. He said, There was a time, and he said he understood, and I do too, understood what I think it was David wrote about being envious of the prosperity of the wicked. Because they seem to prosper when God's people struggle. They got no problem making ends meet or stretching ends or whatever it is. I have no idea what they're doing. Where we have limited resources. Let's put it that way. Mays Jackson said this one thing that has stuck with me over 20 some years. If you are in Christ, if you know Christ, or rather known of Christ, you have so much more than they have. We have this inheritance. And we have more to come. We have it now. But there is a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This mortal, my legs hurt right now. I have skinned my shins and I have bruised my behind. And I have scraped my elbow and nicked my chin. But this mortal right now, as bad as I feel physically, is going to put on immortality. The corruption is going to put on incorruption. There is a part of our inheritance yet to come. But we have so much now in him. Because we are allowed, actually encouraged, to know him. To learn of him. To be able to study this word. To have this word. To study. To learn about him who came, made under the law, made of a woman, to redeem them that were under the law. And Paul's included us in that. We have an inheritance in Christ because we have been made heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But there is an inheritance to come. There is a new heaven and a new earth coming, wherein dwells righteousness. There's going to come a time when we may not all sleep, but we're all going to be changed. And I want to be changed, whether I'm sleeping or not. I'd just soon not sleep. that's okay. But if I do, I still want to be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those which are alive and remain shall rise up with him to meet him in the air. And here's the best part. So shall we ever be with him. Whatever happens after that, I'm good with. It's not going to matter. Because at that time, circumstances won't matter. Right now, circumstances do. My legs hurt. I feel them. And if I bend them, and if I sit down, I may not be able to get back up. Circumstances matter here. But so shall we ever be with the Lord. Circumstances are never going to matter again. Because with that 1,000-year reign, whatever we're going to be doing, wherever we're going to be doing it, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're going to be with him in a way that we are not now. A better way. The way we got now is pretty good. It's a lot better. I do not want to go back to what I used to be. And that's not just habit, that's just desire. I don't want to be the person I used to be. And I am too close to it now to be comfortable with it sometimes. Because circumstances can make me extremely angry. And I can be dangerous when I'm angry. Anybody can be dangerous when they're angry. When he comes again and gathers us as part of our inheritance, circumstances aren't going to matter anymore. Because this mortal will have put on immortality. This corruption will have put on incorruption, and I will ever be with my Lord, which is where I want to be. Jesus Christ was in the fullness of time sent forth to redeem them that were under the law. He did. That part's done. And anybody tries to tell you any different is wrong. Redemption has been accomplished by Jesus Christ. The offering has been made to God by Christ, and it was accepted by God as the sacrifice for the sins of the chosen people of God. That's the good news. Salvation is of the Lord, and salvation has been accomplished. Redemption has been made. He owns us. And faith will come when God sends it forth. And when faith comes, you change. Thank God you change. Oh, sorry. Thank God I changed. I'm blaming on you. See where it says... where else am I thinking? No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Now, lots of people have been justified by the law in the sight of other men. And I'm going to tell you something that's worth just about as much as you paid for it. There are some people who justify themselves. Christ is the one who justifies his people. Because he came to redeem us. And he did redeem us. And he has justified us. And one day, and it won't be as long as it has been, I suppose, one day this mortal will put on immortality. And I'm looking forward to it. That's something to be happy about. I mean, he's given me so much stuff now. Everything I got is because of him. Everything I know is because of him. Even knowing you people is because of him. But he's going to give me more. He's going to give me more. I still have some inheritance to get, to claim, and so do you. And by his grace, we'll have it. We'll have it. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. But most of all, thankful for your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, who did come, who did fulfill all of the requirements of the law, and became the perfect sacrifice for sin, and willingly offered himself as our sacrifice for sin. Thank you, Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.